how can youth workers continue to build strong and creative programs during times of uncertainty and change? Well, this is the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development podcast series. I'm Carrie Rabideau, an Extension educator. And in this podcast, we will explore four ideas that can help you jumpstart new and creative program planning when we're forced to think differently about how we deliver those programs. These ideas are presented to us by our Center for Youth Development Evaluation Director, Sam Grant. And it is great to have you on the podcast, Sam. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for letting me come back again.
Hey, Sam. So, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, that we might be in a time where we have to think about delivering our programs in new and in different ways because of our pandemic situation. Many of us are at home. Many of us have orders not to have face-to-face programming. How's working from home going for you?
Yeah, life's different right now. I am not used to doing my work with my husband at home, who's also a teacher and teaching 100 plus kids a day, with three kids at home that are doing schoolwork, a 7, 10, and 12-year-old. So our life is totally flipped on its head, just like many of us in the youth work field. This is not what we are planning for in our spring and our summer plans. And I am with all of you that at points in the day and minutes in the day, it can be super overwhelming. I shared in a YD blog post that there are moments where I hide in my pantry with my chocolate chips and cry a little bit because life is overwhelming and it's unpredictable. And I have kids asking me, Mom, can I? Mom, can I? On repeat. This might not be the best environment for evaluation because we are getting so much information thrown at us. And as I sat in my pantry crying with my chocolate chips the other day, I thought, I can't do these Pinterest programs and I can't do this stimulating activity with my kids, but I can help people plan stronger programs. And so that's what I have to offer. And I feel like that's where we're all sitting right now is, we're working in the midst of a crisis and we only can do the best we can. So I can give you evaluation. Carrie, you can help me with distance learning. And so together we can figure out this crisis situation, but we can't do it all.
And is it okay if I mention that although this is a podcast, we're recording this through a video technology. And because of course we can't be together recording this podcast. And I'd just like to describe for all of you what I'm seeing behind Sam is a canopy bed because she's not hiding in the pantry this time. She's hiding in her daughter's bedroom.
Exactly. If you hide in their room, they don't know where to find you. If I'm in the usual place, they know they can, you know, ask me for help, which I want to be there to help them. I love my kids. I hope you know that. But sometimes a mom's got to hide to get stuff done. So
isn't that the truth? And right now you're hiding in there so you can help us think about intentional program planning in this environment. And, you know, in true evaluative fashion, you are encouraging us to start with that end in mind, intentional program planning, as we move through, I think, our summer planning. And what are we going to do? How are we going to continue to reach young people to provide those positive youth development experiences at high qualities that we're expected to do and that we want to do. So, you know, let's jump into the four ideas that you have. Your first one really intrigues me because you mentioned creating a vision board for your program. I always think of a vision board as more of a personal activity that you do so that you can achieve personal goals that you're hoping to reach. You're suggesting it in a different way.
Yeah, I'm suggesting let's try this out in programs. So I'm going to say I love to think of creative ways that we can do evaluation. Evaluation sometimes gets billed as really boring, but in a lot of times it's reflective thinking. I am a person who was raised in, or my middle school years were spent in the 90s when it was super cool to cut out magazine articles of different pictures and words and then, you know, paste them all together on a board and give them to your best friend about how much you love them or your boyfriend. You'd make, you know, little boards. I hope I'm not the only person that did this, but I was thinking about that idea the other day and thought that would be really cool for a program too. Because right now when we're in the middle of a pandemic, we can sometimes, in youth programs, we want to respond. We want to do the thing. We want to put all the information out there. But we're not always thinking about, why am I doing this, right? And so I wanted to think of what's the way that we can get people grounded on what is it that your youth program is about? So I thought, let's make a vision board. Let's get those magazines out. Let's cut them up. You could do this virtually. I just, you know, child of the 90s want to have my magazines out and cut them out, glue them on. But this idea of what's the vision of your program? What is it that you want youth to take away? Or what is it that you want youth workers, if your job as a youth development person is to train adults in a way, what's at the core of what you're doing? And lay that vision out like you would for yourself, but lay it out for your program. And I said, maybe like have some kids that you're working with do the same thing too. What's their vision for the program? How does their vision differ from your vision? And what great conversations can you have about that? But it's just, this is an idea to get you in that creative space, because that's where we can think of innovative programming that's focused on what's at the heart of our program.
As you're describing that, Sam, I think about, first of all, big P programming that we, all of our organizations probably have set into place. And this little P programming that we want to do, those actual summer activities, whether it is a camp or it's a day-long experience, it's a project experience, whatever that might be, that's what's thrown up in the air right now. And I think that's what I really enjoyed about thinking through a vision board, to use that as a way to consider, what do I want to have happen in this summer program this year? And, you know, with pictures and some words and however you want to create that, build out how that can happen now in a different environment than what we thought it was going to be.
Because often as youth workers, we're really good at strategy. Like, I'm going to do a camp, I'm going to sing these songs, I'm going to do these activities. And we're so focused on the outputs that then when the delivery method changes, we're like, shoot, none of that works now in this new environment. But if you're thinking about, in my camp, in my little P program, what do I want those campers to walk away with? I want them to be engaged in their environment. If your camp is all about loving the environment, hugging those trees, learning more about how to sustain our environment and take care of our environment, when you switch to online, if you have to, or you switch to small groups, or however that looks in your program, you got this vision behind you that says, oh, this is what I want. Now what do I do? Now what kind of activities do I plan that really demonstrate the vision that I'm going for?
I think that moves us right into your second idea, which is developing a program plan that's built on good outcomes. How does that relate to number one?
Yeah, so these for sure could all go together. So while I don't want to overwhelm you, you could do any of these tips if one is speaking to you. But they're also a little sequential. So you have your vision. You know, here's big picture what I want youth to take away from my program. Then it's thinking about, what are the outcomes of my program? What do I want youth to learn about? What do I want them to know more about? How do I want them to be different because they're part of this program? Again, I'm not jumping into activities yet. I'm still thinking about, what's the learning gain that youth are going to take from this experience? Because you want to get those down and those concretely understood before you start developing the activities, because then you make a really strong program. Outcomes are all about the change we want to see in our participants. So how are those young people different because they're coming to our programs and they're learning? This also might help you up your game as you're doing programming during a pandemic, because sometimes our programs, you know, sometimes our online things might not feel like they have enough substance. So maybe you think, maybe I shouldn't do it like this. I should do something else. I should make youth get off this computer, My kids are spending way too much time on their computers. Get out, do something, experience their backyards if that's all they can, and then come back on Friday and tell me about it. So our time together might not be the learning time. Our time together might be the reflection time where we're talking about what we had. But again, I'm not going to know if I'm missing the mark if I haven't developed those outcomes of what I want youth to take away from the experience.
I really like that concept that you're describing, because I feel like a lot of our youth workers who are moving into summer programming have some nerves about this and this, the uneasy feelings about, I haven't delivered programs in this way before. I mean, most youth development programs and out of school time are all about experiences. And I like how you brought that to have them still do the experiences if you're using online. And this might move into our number three, that if you take that vision and your outcomes, use those to start to build the program.
Yeah, then you can start planning. Then you can start saying, how am I going to make this happen? What are the learning experiences we're going to plan? How are we going to reflect on those learning experiences? There are a lot of great program planning resources. We'll link to some of them at the end. My colleague Margot Bowerman shared one that I think is really great of thinking in a different way. Program plans can be really simple. There's some templates with, here's your outcomes, what are your activities, what supplies do you need to carry that out? They can be really basic or they can be pretty creative. So I'd encourage you to check out some of the resources. We'll link to this podcast, but also just Google, right? We're sitting in front of computers. Google program planning resources. See what's out there. See what helps you to think and have that plan behind what you're doing. Which for most youth workers, this shouldn't be new, right? Like, we create curriculum, lesson plans. This is maybe a little bit higher order for a whole program, but that idea of then make your lesson plan that's connected to your outcomes that you want people to be experiencing because they're part of your program. So it's, you know, think about the vision, start planning for your outcomes, and then create the whole plan of what is it that I'm going to be delivering, knowing that it's going to be different, and that's okay. But you're using that reality and incorporating that reality into your program plan. So I would say, make sure that your program plan thinks about the context. Lots of program plans will have you describe the context, right? So our context is changing. Our context is very different. You want to take that context into consideration, which will help you in planning. It's also going to help you in marketing, right? Because if you know the context is different, parents are overwhelmed, they're crying in their pantries. You're maybe going to do something different when you market the program. You're going to tell me, Sam, you're not going to have to read 5 pages of directions on how to participate in this activity. You're not going to learn your 7-year-old's dance routine, which I am doing right now. I'm learning her dance so I can teach it to her, which is painful.
It's impressive.
Right? But you're going to market differently if you know that. I yes. know your context. I respect your context. We're going to do this differently in our youth program. You can lead with those messages, and I will sign my kid up.
And that is an example of a dance instructor being very creative in how she's continuing her programming. Let's move on to your fourth idea. And this is bringing in evaluation. We can't have the evaluation director on our podcast without talking through, how are we going to evaluate this program after we've been creative, we've been intentional, we've done all the programming? What are we going to do to evaluate this, Sam?
Yeah, program planning and evaluation go hand in hand. And so while I'm not a professional program planner, I do a lot of program planning in my work, because your evaluation, no surprise here, should be connected to what your program is. And your program plan is where you write that down. So the reason I talked so much about program planning is because it does lead you into evaluation. So if you know what you want youth to take from your program, if you've thought strategically about how you deliver it, how you build engaging activities, then before you even implement the program, you can have evaluation ideas created. Maybe that's going to be a survey at the end of your program where you already have those outcomes that you worked on. And now you say, did you actually learn those things that I wanted you to learn about? Have you give that back? I also want to bring up here in the evaluation world that right now is a really hard time to be doing surveys. Carrie and I just were talking about this. Survey participation is way down across all kinds of surveys because people are busy. They're overwhelmed. They don't want to click on one more link. So I'm not necessarily advocating that everything you do has a survey because you're going to maybe expect less people to do it. You can be creative in your evaluation. I have people that I work with in 4-H who are doing cool things. They'll have an activity challenge on Monday. Kids will go and do good work. And then on Friday, they come together on a Zoom call where they reflect on it. Guess what? A reflection is evaluation. This is youth telling us, I did that challenge. I tried it out. Here's what I learned. Here's where I was confused. Here's how I got smarter. Here's how I changed that so it worked for me. Right there is all evaluation feedback. So you can plan for that if you know, I want youth to have a place for them to reflect, to think about their learning. You build it right into the program and you tell them, join me on this Zoom link or go to this. People are using Facebook groups where post your picture of what you did or on a Smug Mug or wherever it is online that is a safe space for youth. Share your resource, share what you learned, and it's more interactive, but it's also data collection. It's an evaluation approach that you've thought about as you're planning your program.
This is a really important point for us to consider and to talk through and to hear your perspective on that, because it is a concern when we're working differently. How are we going to report what we're doing when we're not able to evaluate that work in the same way that we usually have? You're suggesting that we can report how many kids have done this activity and what they reported in their reflection time as their change in behaviors or their change in learning.
Right. Of course, if you're going to, you know, share any of their information, you probably want to get approval from them, right? I wouldn't want to steal kids' words and share them publicly without asking for permission. But yes, those can be great ways. One thing to think about when we're evaluating, when we're reporting right now in this very unique time, is many of our stakeholders, what they want to know about is how are we being responsive to youth and family needs? So if you can collect information from your programs about, I did this program, I thought differently about it because of the context, I engaged youth in these ways, and here's what they told me about it. Right there, you have a really great report that's about learning. It's about what kids are doing, but it also highlights the realities of our context and that we have to be responsive to youth and to families. And that's what really matters for program. That's what speaks to funders right now and stakeholders. They really want to see us reaching out and supporting youth during these challenging times.
And our reporting can reflect that. And
it should.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, I think you're actually missing the mark. If you're reporting and you're in no way talking about how life is different and you're working at your kitchen table and delivering a camp program on a computer, you're probably missing the point of the report.
Well, I thank you for that comment because I think that gives us all a little bit of a take a deep breath. Pause. What do we really want to let our stakeholders, our supervisors, those who are involved in our program, what do they really need to know right now in this context?
Right. We can't do it all. I'm telling you right now, you can't do it all. We're all going to have those moments that we're overwhelmed, that we think, you know, taking one step feels really hard right now. So do the best you can. Think about the needs of your participants and be thoughtful about your approach. And I guarantee you're going to be proud about what you did. You're going to meet the needs of the youth that you're working with. And you're probably going to have some cool stories to tell when we're all back hanging out together in a number of months.
Thank you for that, Sam. Now, let's wrap up with you sharing with us if I need more ideas. I'm in the pantry eating my chocolate. I need more ideas. I've got to jumpstart my summer programming. I need to be creative. Can you give us a few more resources or tell us where we can go to learn more?
Yeah, I would tell you chocolate always helps. It helps me. So if that doesn't help you and you need some more concrete resources, I curate a lot of content on a webpage. It's z.umn.edu/evaluating programs. We'll link that in the comments as well. The YD Insight blog has a variety of information that I referenced today and can give you some great resources.
Do go to Sam's website because I can attest to this. There are a lot of fantastic resources. And if you've just listened to this podcast, you know that Sam is able to describe things in ways that you may not have thought of before with evaluation. And you said earlier in the podcast that you don't want to make evaluation boring. And Sam, you never do. And I know I appreciate that. I've told you this many times. You get me excited about evaluation. I'm like, hey, I can do this. And through your four ideas, I'd like to link back to the other comment you said. Use one, use all four, use what's best for you during this time. And I liked your point of plan with intentionality, be creative, that we can look at things differently, but still get to our intended outcomes through this time, through our summer programming, however long this might extend for us, that we can all do this. And we can make, at the end of the day, we want to make impacts on young people's lives, right?
Exactly. And youth workers, you are so creative. I know that you're going to come up with amazingly innovative ideas. And it might not happen today. It might not happen tomorrow. But start thinking about what it is you care about. And you're going to do great. And baby steps. Try something new today. Get those magazines out and start cutting out your little vision board if that helps you feel creative and get into those creative spaces. Because when we're thinking creatively, we're going to build better programs.
Well, I'm inspired. Thank you, Sam. Do go to her website, but also please visit our website for additional resources at www.extension.umn.edu/youth. Also, go to the Youth Development Insight blog and read and comment on Sam's blog post that we have referenced throughout this podcast. Her blog is called Working from Home with Youth Under Our Foot.
That's me.
And in addition, there are links to many resources within that blog post itself. So I do encourage you to go there, continue the conversation with Sam, ask her questions, offer more ideas, and be a part of that conversation. Also, if you're looking for more ideas on working with youth from a distance, on the right side of that website, we have added a new webpage that has resources on how to continue our work during this time. Thank you again for joining the conversation today, Sam.
Thank you, and be well, everyone.
This is Carrie Rabideau from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon.